Hey there, it's Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. Our guest today is Alan Mone Jr., who is managing director of the Off Central, which is a fantastic place to see theater there on First Avenue South in St. Petersburg. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Bill.
New season started this week.
New season this week, yeah.
Bakersfield Mist opened. Tell me about it. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Tell me, give me the whole nine yards on this show. This is the season opener.
It is. It's our fifth season, and we're opening it with Bakersfield Mist. The three shows we're producing this fall all have the visual arts as a through line. This first show is based on a true story about a woman in Bakersfield who believes she found a long-lost Jackson Pollock at a thrift shop for $5. And she enlists the assistance of an art appraiser from New York City to come see the piece and hopefully authenticate it for her.
Is this a comedy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Because the intrigue was killing me. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, how's that going to go? Yeah. So who's in it? Who wrote it? Who's in it? And give me a little backstory.
Yeah, it's written by a gentleman named Steven Sachs, directed by Roxanne Fay, who is instrumental in everything we do at the Off Central. Mm-hmm. And it stars Alex Fallhaber and Jim Sorensen.
Oh, Jim's great.
Yeah, he is.
It's just two people in
just
the show?
Just two people, yes.
So Alex is the woman with the painting?
Correct, and Jim is the expert.
So that makes sense. And it runs till the 14th of September.
Yes.
First of all, let's talk about Roxanne, who is, you know, one of my favorite people in the theater universe around here and has been for many years.
Yeah.
I'm happy to call her a friend. She is an artistic director, or the artistic director. How's that word?
Yeah. When I came on board the staff of the Off Central, we sort of restructured it a little bit from where it was. My title is managing director. It's I'm kind of a nuts and bolts guy to make sure everywhere runs very smoothly.
All the nuts are attached to the bolts,
exactly.
Et cetera.
Yeah. And Roxanne is there to help with all the artistic decisions. Mm-hmm. She and I, along with a small group of people that we trust, handle the play reading and play selection and things like that, and make sure that everything we're doing has continuity. And you know,
are there specific things that you have to look for in booking booking? I don't know if that's actually the right word. Well, in bringing performances into what is essentially a 42-seat venue.
Yeah, that's the big one, is can we tell this story in a theater that has 43 seats?
Yeah. And 43, you gained one.
I got one. With a 10.5-foot ceiling, yeah. Can we make it fit? Mm-hmm. Or if we can't make it fit, if it's a story that needs to be told, how do we tell it effectively?
Are there shows that can be cut down like that? You know,
yeah.
You can't take American Idiot and put it in a 43-seat.
Yeah, no, we're not doing... A friend of mine said, you're not going to do Music Man and do 7 or 6 trombones in here.
Witty guy.
There are some things that are probably too big. I think we sort of max out having 7 or 8 people on stage at a time. Mm-hmm. We get a little crowded. But that is a big part of what dictates the productions that we bring in.
Well,
stage.
You know, as we've talked about before, that's also part of the charm of having a small place, is that you're right there.
Yeah.
This is not an original thought of mine, and lots of people have talked about this, but smaller theaters, the Schimberg Playhouse that Jobsite uses, a little bigger than this.
Yeah, a little bit, but same theory.
But absolutely. It's the same theory,
Yeah, the audience is in the story. You become part of the telling of the story. It's an immersive experience that we think is what sort of – it's the one thing we have going for us that a lot of other theaters don't.
Yeah.
Is being able to tell a story up close and personal like that.
Except you can't have a full orchestra.
That's true. A
couple of kazoos.
Maybe.
A little electric piano.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Roxanne a little bit. Yeah. I mean, she's always been an independent contractor.
Yeah.
And as long as I've known her, Roxanne has never kind of been 100%, well, I guess this is not 100%, but affiliated strongly with a particular theater. I've seen her work pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, all up and down the East Coast, you see Roxanne's work. She's been very invested in Jobsite for a while.
Yeah.
She is one of their artistic associates. She's somebody that they rely on, obviously.
Yeah.
When we were sort of putting together the staff of what we wanted to do at the Off Central, Roxanne is a name that came up because she knows our space. She knows how our space works. And she understands the things that we're trying to accomplish. So it just made sense to have her on the team for sure.
So while she's directing Bakersfield Mist, I assume she's not directing. She's not the house director.
No, she's not.
But she's involved in all of these shows. Obviously, she was involved in helping decide. Why the three? The next show is called White. Mm-hmm. And the one after that, of course, is Art, which is a very famous one.
Yep.
And Yasmina, what's her last name?
Reza.
Yasmin and Reza. Yeah, I saw art in the 90s, yeah. I think, and gone away. Yeah. So why the theme? Why the visual art theme?
I don't know how we stumbled onto it. It was just that we sort of – we knew we wanted art to be done. We knew we wanted white to be done. And it just made sense to find a third show that went with that theme of the visual arts and how – you know, we relate to them, how they relate to us, how they define who we are as people. Mm-hmm. It was a really nice, easy way to package Bakersfield Mist with the other two.
One of the things I remember about art, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the subjects is, you know, what is art?
Yes.
It's like one man's ceiling is another man's floor, as correct. They say. It's like, and I think that that's what, I think that probably has a lot to do with what, you know, in society,
yeah.
You know, and boy, we could talk about street art and murals and all, but we're not going to go there today, yeah. Folks. You have, I don't know, you've told me the rest of the season. Are we discussing that yet?
Yeah, let's discuss it.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let me call it up so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we made it official a couple of days ago.
Okay, we're starting in January. Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah, starting in January, we're shifting away from the visual arts as a theme and into the theme of lifelong friendship. We've got three productions that are very different. They're very different stories, but all tie together because it is a reliance on those around us to help us tell the story of who we are.
Thematic.
Yes. The first production is a play called Gruesome Playground Injuries, which is about two young people and who meet when they're young, and we see them re-meeting throughout their lives. That production is going to be directed by Anthony Gervais, who is the associate artistic director at American Stage.
Oh, very talented guy.
Incredible guy.
Yeah.
The second production of the spring is a play called The Drawer Boy by Michael Healy. It is a Canadian play about two friends who take care of each other, one keeping the other from some hard truths, and a third young man who comes on the scene to sort of figure out what farming is like in in rural Canada outside of Toronto. It's a very interesting story.
So, Gruesome Playground and your injuries. I'm reading now. Yeah. It's January 8th through 18th.
Yep.
Does that sound right?
Correct.
The drawer boy. And is it drawer like a dresser drawer, or is it drawer like a draw someone who
draw
draws?
Like drawing someone.
Okay, the drawer boy.
Yeah. The main character in the play was an architect at one point.
Oh, that's March 5th through 15th. And the third one in this series, the sixth show of this season, is
Ripcord.
Yeah.
It's a very different play from the other two. It's about two high-strung, I think is fair, women who compete for everything in a retirement home. And they deal with rivalry and all kinds of other things. We have Jack Holloway, who's done a lot of work with Hat Trick Productions. He's coming in to direct that for us to close out the season, which we're really excited about. The thing that hasn't been published, and we are still trying to sort out the details, we're going to produce something to celebrate Pride at the end of May into June with there's a writer and actor in the area who's done some work with us in the past. His name is Daniel Harris, and he will be working on an original production for us to celebrate Pride next spring.
Yep. So the season, the last season ended a couple of months
April.
And there's been some changes at the Off Central.
There have been a few changes, yeah.
Let's address that. I mean, okay. Ward Smith is a beautiful guy and a friend of mine. He's not involved at the moment. Does he still own it? He and his sister?
Yeah, it was started by him and his sister, Karen Reif. Mm-hmm. She is the chair of our board of directors, very involved in the organization. Uh-huh. Ward was their artistic director there for the first four seasons that they were in business. And, Ward just needed to work on some other stuff. He took a step back, and Karen sat down with her board of directors, and they sort of figured out where they wanted to go next.
Sure.
So here we are.
Well, theater never sleeps, right?
No, it doesn't.
It's sort of like the news.
Correct.
And I trust we'll be seeing Ward again very soon.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I know he's got some comedy things booked in the next couple of months. I don't have the information
on
here.
He does stand-up. Yeah, that's right.
He's a very funny guy.
Let's talk about you. And I know we've done this in this podcast before, but I think most people know you either as a director or an actor.
Yeah.
You've done lots of each. But where are you from and what's your story? Let's go there. Let's just go full-gone biographical.
It's not far from your story.
Oh, no.
I was born at Bayfront Hospital in 1980. I'm from here. I was born in St. Pete. I grew up in Seminole. My whole family's in Seminole, Seminole. Mm-hmm. Genuine cracker. I'm from here. I grew up here. I went to college in North Carolina. I came home and went to work here for my dad. And yeah, since I got away from the family business about 10 years ago, I've just been working in the theater.
Was theater like your secret passion?
Yeah, I went to college for it.
You did?
Know? Oh, yeah. I was the kid who was going to grow up and be the next Broadway star.
But I think Stephen Reardon thought the same thing.
That was the conversation we had.
When you talk to him on his podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Stephen's a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're 5'9" and slightly overweight, you're never going to play the lead on Broadway. So you got to pivot. So here we are.
Was it the kind of thing where your dad was saying, you know, get a real job, son, theaters, and you know,
kind of. But I will say that I was very fortunate enough to have very supportive parents, including my dad, who I still see as often as I can, and he's very much supportive of everything that I've done, which I'm grateful.
What business was your dad? Is he in?
He was in the landscape design business. He ran and operated a nursery and landscape firm that my great-grandfather started in Seminole in 1929. My dad took the business over in the late 70s.
Wow.
He just stuck to the family business and finally able to retire a few years ago.
So you started acting. What did you start with, like 8 o'clock theater and the sort of usual suspects and community theater and
stuff?
A couple of questions. I mean, if you're going to do this, you know, quote-unquote professionally, or do this as a career, why stay here? That's the first question.
I'm happy to answer that question. The reason I think it's important to be here and not in Asheville, North Carolina, or in Memphis, or in Atlanta, or whatever, is because this community deserves a professional theater that is of high quality. We have a couple of them, obviously, with American Stage and Free Fall, the stuff that Erica Sutherland is starting to produce at the studio at 620.
And Jobside and Stage Works.
Yes, absolutely.
Tampa Rep. I think we've got tons of good stuff.
We do.
But you didn't leave. I mean, even before this opportunity with the Off Central came up, you didn't leave.
No, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of stories to tell. There is a very deep talent pool in this area, which makes it easy to produce a lot of good theater, which I'm very grateful for. It's a great place to do theater and to tell stories. And St. Pete is an incredible city.
So I wanted to talk about the talent pool here and just kind of pick your brain a little bit.
Sure.
Because I've been doing this here since 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. As you may know, I mean, I had a big journalism career doing kind of stuff years ago. But I re-landed in St. Pete and started doing this. And I've gotten to know really well the work that so many great people do, starting with Roxanne Fay.
Yep.
I think she was the first one I saw her and went, man, she's good.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are job site artistic associates, so many folks that are associated with Free Fall or Tampa Rep that are just astonishingly good.
Yeah.
Do you know Emily Belvo?
I do very well. I am a massive Emily Belvo fan.
Why isn't she working? She's with Hat Trick now, I think.
Yeah. You'd have to ask Emily, I guess.
Hey, Emily.
But Emily, if you're out there, come to the Off Central. I'd love to cast you.
I saw her face on Facebook recently. Yeah. I went, boy, I haven't seen her in a while. She's so good.
She's fantastic.
And Katrina Stevenson and all of those people over there with Jobsite. Oh, my God. Paul Potenza.
Sure.
You know, sorry to lose Giles Davis, who moved away recently.
Right.
And Ned Avril Snell has moved away too.
Ned, we miss you.
Yes, I hope you're listening. He's coming back. I think they're going to do Every Brilliant Thing again.
I think they are.
This is maybe his third time doing it. He's so good. Yeah, hey, Ned.
Well.
All right. So I love dropping names.
There's a lot of talent here. The other thing I love about this area is the amount of support between all of the theater companies.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of us out there that want to work in the theater, and for our fall slate, we only have two actors coming in that have ever been on our stage before.
Really?
Everybody else is brand new to us.
That's great.
But the collaboration between the professional theaters in this area is also something that is wonderful to see, but also is important for all of us to sort of survive and thrive together.
That is so true. You know, Think Tank was just – they were at the Jabe, I think, and they're at Stage Work sometimes, and they were at Free Fall last season.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew McGee, who is kind of surgically attached to Free Fall, works everywhere.
Sure does.
You know, I think that's a beautiful thing. Let's talk about you and your history as an actor.
Okay.
And the things that folks will remember you in, because I'm going to draw a blank on all the stuff I've seen you in.
Okay.
So I'm going to hand that one over to you.
My return to theater in Florida was sort of in 2016 when I played Charles Gateau in Assassins at Free Fall.
That was a great show. That was the first Free Fall show I saw after we moved back here.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad.
There were so many good people in that.
That was one of the most talented casts I've ever been around in my entire life.
That was good. I remember.
Incredible.
Can I blow a little smoke? Please. I mean, I saw that and I went, I'm really glad we moved here.
Yeah.
You know, just to see something like that. And I can't even remember all the people that were in. Sarah Del Vito was in it,
Sarah,
I think.
Sarah was in it, absolutely, yeah.
And amazing stuff. So I'm sorry, after Assassins.
Yeah. After Assassins, I just started working a lot of other places. I was back at Free Fall the next season for White Fang. I did some work. I was in Think Tank's first production, James and the Giant Peach. I played Lotta Lord in that. I've done some work at Tampa Rep. I did a production with them a couple of years ago. So yeah, just sort of stayed busy. I designed and directed a lot of things at Early Bird Dinner Theater for Susan Linardos, who's a wonderful person.
Oh,
should
yeah.
not be left out of this conversation.
Oh yeah, I've not met her. You have to make an introduction.
Yes, she is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm in really remiss in the more community theater world, and I need to get kind of caught up on that.
Yeah, well, I will say this for Susan. She not only does she produce good theater and pay a very competitive rate to her actors and her designers and everything like that, she is one of the best arts advocates I've ever met in my entire life.
Well, I need an introduction.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. She's
I just
fantastic.
Recently got turned on to Power Stories.
Fran Powers, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and did an interview with Fran, and it was Roxanne.
Yeah, Witch Hunt, yeah.
Yeah, it was the one before Witch Hunt.
Oh, okay, so, yes.
And I saw that and went, wow. And when I saw her with Debbie Yonis in that show at Jobsite.
Breadcrumbs. That was my first job chance to work at Jobsite. I directed that production.
You directed that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
It was beautiful. Debbie Yonis, who is, of course, a friend of yours, is another amazing actor.
She's incredible. Absolutely astounding.
And I love what you said about how everyone is so giving.
Yeah.
To each other. You know, there's no like competitive
right.
anything.
No, like with Bakersfield, we it's a great show. If you happen to come see it in the final weekend, please do. Just know that the stove came from American Stage because we asked and they had it.
Is Bakersfield Mist the name of the painting?
The name of the painting in the real story is Lavender Mist.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it takes place in Bakersfield?
Takes place in the trailer park in Bakersfield.
Hey, man, that's home of Merle Haggard. That's all right with me, I tell you what. What happens next with Off Central? I mean, have you thought past this season yet?
Yes.
Yes?
We have thought past the season. We are planning for the 26-27 season.
Mm-hmm.
We are planning on a new initiative that we're not ready to launch yet, but it's coming to help sort of incubate stories that should be told that haven't been told yet, giving a space and stage and audience to local artists who have something to say. We're going to dig a little deeper into that world. We're going to work on just doing bigger and better productions that we can.
It'd be nice to see you guys, I'm going to throw this out here, collaborate with 620 at some point because you're similar in size. I think maybe they're a tiny bit bigger.
Yeah, they've got a little more space, but where we do have a likeness, and Erica Sutherland and I have talked about this, neither one of us have a true scene shop. What would it look like for two professional theater companies to find a shared space?
Go in together.
So those are the conversations that are being had amongst the companies in the area.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you were saying about everybody being helpful and working together instead of against one another. Yeah.
And there's a show, Ada and the Engine, the next Power Story story.
Yep.
And Kayla, who is in that, I haven't seen her. I can't remember how to pronounce her last name. It's long and starts with a W. She's really good. And I've seen her in a couple things. The first time I saw her was at the Off Central.
Mm.
With Newt Panalons and
Plot Points in Our Sexual Development.
Right. And then she did a couple shows, and then she kind of wasn't around. And now I just saw she's back. And I don't know, this popped into my head. There's no rhyme or reason that, but I just, I'm always thinking about theater. And I enjoy what I do so much because I get to see all this wonderful stuff. And as soon as I can, I'm getting over to see Bakersfield Mist.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
I will drag you over there if you need to.
Hey, listen, is it called theoffcentral.com?
Offcentral.com is the website that covers everything. It covers the venue. It covers us, the Off Central players. And there's also information about our education program, the Big Break Youth Stage.
Yeah.
It's run by Katie Callahan.
Katie Callahan.
Yeah, who's fantastic.
Yeah.
She did a great job. She had a wonderfully successful summer camp in July, and she's just now starting rehearsals and workshopping her next production, which will be at our place in October, which is Alice in Wonderland.
That's great.
So, yeah, they're cranking away, too.
Katie does a lot of work at Lab Theater Project.
She does.
Shout out to Owen Robertson, because I think Lab is great. And they're very similar size-wise to what you guys
do. Yeah, not far off, yeah.
Alan Mooney Jr., such a pleasure to speak to you today.
You too, man. I'm glad I got to see you.
Did we miss anything? Is there anything that we should talk about?
I don't know. I usually talk about Debbie more often, or more for a longer period of time, but...
Hi, Debbie.
Yes, Debbie Yonis. Please come see her in November. She, along with Amy Salee and Vera Samuels, will be starring in an all-female version of Art at the Off Central in November.
Oh, so she's in Art. Oh, great. Yes. Fantastic. Yeah, I think the world of Debbie. I think she's a great actor.
She's all right.
And we'll give her my best.
I will do that.
So, Alan, good to see you again.
You too, Bill.
And we'll see you soon.